Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Not just those who are in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in on iChurch. They're listening in English and in Spanish today. Hallelujah. If you need a word, the Bible, you just raise your hand and there are servants in the aisle will provide you with that. It's a blessing to be sharing what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. I'm just a firm believer that we've been saved and transformed for a reason. We spend a lot of our time trying to stay saved, which shouldn't be the case. We're wrestling with all kinds of stuff. But he's given us the power to overcome all that stuff. We can't do it without the keys. And so he has provided keys that we can deal with our circumstances, deal with things that we encounter. We're supposed to be victorious, y'all. Who's been built for victory? I'm built for victory. And so that's why I love this ministry. I didn't establish this ministry. I'm just taking a torch. What is that when you go to a relay race and you pass that baton? I've just been passed the baton. I'm so thankful for our apostle who has established 20-something churches. And that vision was that we could find truth in the word. He didn't create a bunch of denominations, y'all. He didn't create all of that religious. What he wanted us to have was the truth. And he provides the truth unadulterated right here in his word. You know, I don't understand why some people have so many different interpretations. It's real plain and simple. He said, don't add nothing to my word and don't take anything away. So I'm thankful that we have truth seekers up in here. We just want truth. Tell your neighbor, I just want the truth. I mean, who wants lies? So we just want truth. And so that is why we are truth seekers. We're not making up our own doctrine. We get everything straight from the word. And somebody say, we got to go deeper. And so that is why we use the Hebrew names and we study the Hebrew words because they just give high definition to the Bible. You can get more understanding. For instance, the word faith. If we look in the English, faith is, belief, right? It doesn't give us much depth. It's just like you got to believe. But when we take the Hebrew word for faith, emuna, it means unshakable, deeply rooted, right? You can't move it. You got to have that kind of belief that is deeply rooted, unmovable. Say unmovable. Unmovable. Somebody say unshakable. Unshakable. Say my faith has to be a rock. Who has rock kind of faith? A bold kind. You can't move that. So that is why we use the true Hebrew name. I always preface this because when we start talking about things, I need you all to understand that we go deeper. And we use the name Yeshua because the name Jesus didn't come to 1611. And you know what I've discovered in, I didn't used to be a history buff, but it's important to know history. And guess what I found out about history? Folks try to erase it. They try to change history. I remember a lot of the Egyptian relics. You remember like King Tutankhamun? And if they liked the king, they preserved his stuff. But if they didn't like a king, they would erase all traces of what he's doing. It almost sounds like what's happening in government right now, but I digress. You want to erase everything that somebody's done. Well, we have to make sure that we go to the Word and we study, because in 1611 they changed some work, they changed some names. Now, what reason would there be to change a name? Well, he said, Yeshua was given a name that was above every name. So if he said that that name was above every name, then why, and he existed for over 2,000 years, so why in 1611 would somebody try to change the name? Sounds like they're trying to change the power. Remove some power, right? So what do? You dilute stuff. You leave stuff out. You try to eradicate stuff. But I'm thankful that when he told me to study to show myself approved, and when I studied, I found the power. I found the truth. And there's power in truth, right? And so that's why I want to go deeper. And so we've been talking about the kingdom because we're saved for a reason. We have decided this life for a reason. Why are you coming to church every Sunday? If you're not sold out to this, you might as well go have brunch somewhere. I always say that. There's a lot of things happening on Sunday. There's a lot of fun stuff happening. Quote unquote fun happening on Sundays. But if you're going to give up that quote unquote fun and you call yourself a true believer, then you better make sure that the time that you spend in here means something. The time that you spend in here, you get something. Because we're not just teaching just to, oh, God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You need to know more than that when you step out of here and deal with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Why? Because there's some stuff going on. There's some battles that you need to fight at work. I know when I was working in corporate, I had a battle every day. I had a battle in the morning. I had a battle in the afternoon. And I had a battle before I left. And I knew that that battle was still going to be there the next day. But as a believer, I was victorious in every battle. Why? Because I took this word that I got and I applied it to Monday. So you can't just, oh, hallelujah, and lift up your hands Sunday morning, and then when you drive off of here, you pack it away and you start acting the old way. You need a hallelujah on Monday. You need a thank Yahweh on Tuesday, right? So what you're doing is, if you listen, say, if I listen, I'm going to get something. Something that you can put in action tomorrow. So we've been talking about the kingdom. And the kingdom is manifest in three different ways, because when Yeshua left, he was crucified, then he rose again with victory in his hand, right? The resurrection. And then he left. And when he left, he said, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. Don't do anything. You need some power. I'm gonna send the comforter. And he said, and when you do that, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to work for me. You're going to have to be examples of me. You need to transact business in my name, right? And so when people see the manifestation of the kingdom in us, then they're what? Drawn to the kingdom. This is what he said. He said, if I be lifted up. So your life is supposed to lift him up. Tell your neighbor, yo, our life is supposed to lift him up. And then when people see our life, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all mankind unto me. And so he shows us how he does that. So real quickly, in the Bible, when you see the kingdom of God, say the kingdom of God. When you see that in scripture, or the kingdom of Yahweh, we use his real name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. The nature and the character of God, of Yahweh. When you see the kingdom of Yahweh, that is the nature and the character. What is that? His goodness. The way he loves. The way he forgives. His righteousness. So I'm supposed to demonstrate his righteousness when I'm on my job? Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories about people being saved in church, and when they go home, their kids see somebody totally different. What's up with that? I mean, why are we, Yeshua used the perfect terminology. He said, if you do that, you are a mask wearer. What does that mean? Well, back in those times, the Greeks had dramas and shows, plays. And so to transform into a different character, they would put on a mask. And that mask was called Hippocrates. Say Hippocrates. And so Yeshua said, well, you know, you guys are doing all this mask wearing and turning into different people. Well, you're doing that right in my church, in the church, in the synagogues. You're different people. You're mask wearers. And he used the word hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a mask wearer. So y'all be saying, how should I put this?
Praise Yahweh.
And then when you drive off and leave here, I'm going to kick your so-and-so. Okay, well. So the mask is not real. And I guess the real you is without the mask. But what he wants is a total transformation where you ain't got to wear no mask. You are good. You are righteous. Everything that comes out of your mouth is the righteousness of him. You're living it. But you can't do that without his nature and his character on the inside. So let's go. He says, he told them this. He said that in Luke 17, the 20th verse, in Luke 17, 20. Got it? Say, I got it. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, if you got it, you got it? If you need it, say, I need it. Okay, because it might not pop up on the board. But Luke 17, 20th chapter, says what? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, or Yahweh should come, they were like, where is this kingdom that you're talking about? I mean, when is it coming? And he says unto them, the kingdom of God, or Yahweh, doesn't come with observation. Because they were looking for something physical. They were looking for some castles and some gold streets. They were looking for the mind interpretation of it. And he says, neither shall they say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there. He says, behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. So it's supposed to be my nature and my character, what? In you. And we know that his nature and character is the Holy Spirit. Who got the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit dwelling within. That's his nature and character, right? So when we walk out of here, we're supposed to be Holy Ghost. What does Holy Ghost feel mean to you? It should mean that everything I do and everything I say and how I act is directed by the Holy Ghost. That means that if I am internalizing his nature and character, that's who I am.
I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to keep it real.
Yeah, but you don't have to stay in your flesh to. Then why be saved? If you're going to keep it real, then don't receive the transformation. But the word says all things have passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. Tell your neighbor you're supposed to be. Well, no. Tell your neighbor you're brand new. You're brand new. This is a new thing. When we go down in the waters of baptism and when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a new thing. Who experienced that new thing? It's a new thing. Everything is passed away. And now we have his nature and character. And so they said, behold, it's with us. And so the second way that the kingdom is presented, when you see the kingdom of heaven, is actually a geographical location that seats the government and the systems of Yahweh. So what does that mean? It's a place where he dwells, right? And it's a place where all the systems, the angels being dispatched, the ability to conquer and have authority and dominion, that's in that government system that he has. Well, what does that mean? Why you pray? You pray to transmit whatever it is that you want to see happen, right? Right? So who are you praying to? You praying to who? Say if I see a crazy situation over here. The doctors told me that I got cancer, right? And that's here on earth. Well, I have to take this nature and character and in faith pray and say, Father, I want to see you completely transform this situation. And then he says, that's my child calling. They're demonstrating my nature and character. So whatever they ask, it's going to be done in heaven, and then it's going to be manifested on earth. And then, boom, the doctors say, hey, it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. You don't have any cancer. What's going on here? And you say, kingdom. Because what happened? The kingdom was what? Manifested. And what is that? The third thing is the kingdom. Say the kingdom. And the kingdom is what? The actual culture and kingdom that is of dominion and power and rule that is what? Manifested on earth. So give me that, diagram that. So that's you. See at the bottom? So that's me. And what's inside of me? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Yahweh. And what is that? That's his nature and character. Right? Tell your neighbor, I got his nature and character. Thank you. All right. So now we have his nature and character. And so he says what? Well, if you got your nature and character, and if you believe my word, you shall ask. And whatever you shall ask, what? It shall be done. Where? In heaven. And then, boom, when it's manifested on earth, it's what? The kingdom. So when you see whatever you ask for manifest, say boom. Whatever. Listen, if you are asking for something, then that means you have a reasonable expectation that he's going to do it, right? Who has asked for something? And I'm not talking about frivolous stuff. I'm just talking about you needed him to move. You needed him to do something. You needed him to change a situation. So as long as you got that Holy Ghost power in you, and as long as you know who to direct your prayer to and what name to call, in the name of Yeshua, I'm requesting. And then he hears it. And then, and what happens? You ain't saying it loud enough. What happens? And boom is what? The kingdom. Go back to the definition of the kingdom. That is the dominion
Do you know that now we have dominion? Now we have rule? Now we have what? Power. But guess what? People need to see that. Why is this?
Let me show you.
People need to see the manifestation on earth. You church people, what are you going to say about us church people? Y'all just do a lot of talk. No action. Well, we're supposed to do a lot of word talk. We speak the word. And then people should be able to see the manifestations of what we're talking about. I told you last week when I was working corporate and everybody, they have a layoff every other year. And people say, aren't you scared if you're going to lose your job? I said, no, God gave me this job. And if anybody would take it, it would only be him. And he preserved my job for 15 years through 10 layoffs. Why? Because I told the person, no. I said, in the mighty name of Yeshua, I'm going to keep my job. And guess what happened? The next day, boom, I'm still at my desk. They gone. And so they said, hey, your prayer worked. So then they would call me. Hey, Tom, can you pray for me? Because it seems like when you pray for stuff, it happens. I'm like, there's nothing special about me. It's the God that I serve. He's the one. He does the works, right? And so that's the kingdom being manifested. Why? So people can see. How many people have come up to you and say, wow, can you pray for me? Because it seems like every time you pray, something happened. My granny's in the hospital. I said, no problem. I send it to the intercessors. We go for, okay, so real stuff. Real stuff. Can I use you? Carol, can I use you? This week. And I'm using them because it just happened this week. Carol said, my sister's in hospital. And she said, they're saying that she has a blood condition where it's toxic, and they're saying that she could go within a matter of hours. When I got that request, I immediately put it on the intercessor's prayer line. Why? Because we were operating in the nature and character of Yahweh. We believe that he can do some stuff. And so we all started praying about that immediately. Immediately. We were calling up heaven and said, hey, we're coming in agreement with Carol and her sister Sherry that are right now in that hospital. We want you to loose healing right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. So we right here, a few hours later, Carol texts and said, she up and she eating. Come on. After Carol made her request, within about 5 minutes, another request came through the line. It was Langston. He said, my uncle is in the house. They're talking, saying he has an aneurysm. And he had to have surgery. They were saying it's a 50-50 chance that he would even make it. Right after Carol's request, Langston's request went up. And we got on the line. Why? Because we have the nature and character of Yahweh. A few hours later, after we got Carol's praise request, Langston said, all the glory be to Yahweh. It's like nothing ever happened to him. He's normal. Come on, y'all. This is a God that we serve. There's nobody like our God. There's nobody like him. Boom, he manifested healing, deliverance, power. That's what he does. That is the dominion and rule and power that we got. we can lose healing. He says, because you have this, don't listen. Go here. Go to Matthew 16. That's the power that we got. That he wants the earth to see his power. He wants the earth to see his glory, not our power. There's nothing special about us. Hey, we just believe. Let me say that again. There ain't nothing special about us. We just believe. And if you believe, boom. Do I got any believers? If you believe, right? Now, this is the cold thing. We got so much power that even people that don't believe, if we're interceding for them, they get manifestation of the power of Yahweh. And people see that. And Langston said that his uncle was just so overjoyed. He knew it was the prayers. He said, when I get out of this bed, I'm coming to give my testimony. See, that's what we're talking about. And so he says, listen, he says in Matthew 16th chapter, and I read this every week, but you got to get this because everything springs from this. He says in the 13th verse, he says, when they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that's a loaded question. He says, who do you say I am? And I'm the Son of Man. So basically, he's giving them the answer to who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some of them, in the 17th verse, he says, Yeshua, they said, well, some of you think that you're John the Baptist. Remember, it was already prophesied that Yeshua was the Mashiach, that he was the one that was coming. Because, let me digress. When we prayed for these requests, we said, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua is his name. His name means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. Mashiach means the anointed one. When you see Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah, it's Yeshua Mashiach. And we said, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed one. And we made our request, heal them in the mighty name. And so now you have the healer himself saying, who do folks say I am? Some of them say you're John the Baptist. Some of you say you're Elias, one of the prophets. And others say you're Jeremiah. And he said, no. But whom, 15th verse says, but who do you say that I am? Say this is personal. When you form your lips to get ready to invoke the power and the rule and the dominion of the name Yeshua, you better know who he is. You better know what he can do. Come on. You don't just say that name, just throwing it out there. You got to say it with, who said that? Say it with authority. You say it with power. Not our power, but his power that dwells within. And so he's like, listen, other folks are saying whatever they are, who I am, but who do you? And when you need something, you need to ask yourself, do I know who I'm really addressing here? Because I got to really believe that I'm addressing the one and only Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that came to save, deliver, and rescue. Right? And so he said, he answered Yeshua's question. He said, you know what? He said, thou art, Peter answered, said, thou art the Mashiach. I believe that you, who you say you are, that's who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And because he believed that,
Because he knew that, 17th verse. And Yeshua answered and said, you're blessed. Because you know who I am, you're going to be blessed. Tell your neighbor, because you know who he is, you're going to be blessed. But you got to know. You got to know. How am I going to be blessed? What's in it for me? And this is the thing. You know, this is the conversation I had last week with a millennial. Do you know what a millennial is? What's a millennial? These young folks. I mean, you know, I was having this conversation, and, you know, I was telling the guy, you know, my generation was that if you worked, we were just told, if you just work hard, you can have whatever it is. If you just work hard. But they didn't say how long I was supposed to work, did they? They just said, my dad just said, if you work hard, son. And that's my generation. We grew up, well, what am I working for? Just keep on working. And what did our generation do? We just worked. Kept on me. But the millennials are a little bit different. And I'm not taking a jab. It's just true. They have seminars for managers and supervisors and owners and CEOs of companies to train them how to deal with millennials in their companies. Because they can't deal with them like baby boomers. No, yeah, seriously. Two heads of corporations told me, Tom, dude, we have to have special training. Because they don't just want to work to be working. They're, what's in it for me? Why do I need to work? I mean, I don't mind working, but tell me what I'm going to get. And it's not just a, you know, it was all the benefit of a hard work and dedication. No. And I'm not saying all millennials, maybe some of y'all are different. But they got a study out on y'all. I think you should know that. And they say y'all are entitled. You just want it because you want it. And you want it and not really have to work too much for it. You just want it to want it. And it's not totally your fault. You grew up in an age where instant this, microwave, fast food. We didn't have no fast stuff when I was growing up. When is the food gonna be ready? When I'm finished making it. It seemed like it took 3 hours for that chicken to fry. But now, you just, boop, bing, 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 boop. It's done. Right? And so, with millennials, let me explain to you what y'all doing. You're not very far from the mark. See, if you will redirect all them questions of what's in it for me and when do I get it, just invoke his name. And if you believe in his name, you serve a God that can bing. You ask him, and what will he do? He'll manifest it, right? Somebody say boom. So millennials, just get your face straight. Where my millennials at? Okay, let me. If you want it to happen now, grow up your faith, y'all. Grow up your souls. Get rid of the distractions. See, what happens is that we get distracted with too many things instead of focusing on the one and only who can make things happen. Instead of growing up our faith, we're trying to get more followers on Instagram. I'm not looking at y'all now. I'm just a general. But when we talk about the name Yeshua, this is where we're millennials and baby boomers and Generation X and Y, we can agree. We serve a God that if you have enough faith, he can instantaneously change your situation. Instantaneously. And so he said right here, listen, because you know who I am, you're going to be blessed. Millennials, holla. You blessed. Where my baby boomers at? Where my generation X and Y? You blessed. We can all agree that if we all invoke the power and the authority and the dominion of the name Yeshua, things happen. And millennials, don't get tripped out because it didn't happen immediately manifested in front of your eyes. When you invoke it, it immediately happens in heaven. Say it. Say it immediately happens in heaven. How do I know that? Because he told, he says, man, since you know who I am, you're blessed. And he says, it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed me to you. It was my Father, which is in heaven. So because of that, 18th verse, he says, because of this, 18th verse says what? And I say unto thee that you, Peter or Kepha, upon this rock, upon this kind of faith, because remember, on this type of emunah, this unshakable, this unmovable, this deeply rooted faith, I'm going to build my church on you. And he says, the gates of hell shall what? They're going to try, but they won't prevail. And 19th verse says what? And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What? You're going to give me the keys? Yes, I'm going to give you the keys to the systems and the government of Yahweh. I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. And with those keys, whatever you bound on earth shall be what? Millennials, don't trip. Just because you bind it on earth and you don't see it manifested right away, guess what? It's already bound in heaven. Tell your neighbor, it's already bound in heaven, girl, boy. Don't trip, man. It's already done. And everybody else say it's already done. And it says, and whatever you shall what? Loose on earth shall be what? So it's going to be manifested. And the 20th verse, go here. So now that we understand this, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. 6 to 7. Come out of my shoestring. Wow. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we like to say Matityahu, that is his Hebrew name of Matthew. So are you ready? So he says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Oh, Father God, the most eternal. You're in the universe. And I know that you're far away, but if you can just take a moment to gaze upon us. I've heard them kind of prayers. What are you talking about, dude? What kind of prayer is that? Ask for what you want. Ask for what you want. He says, don't use no vain repetitions. Don't just babble like the heathens do. See, I know a heathen prayer when I hear one. Because it says, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Listen, a prayer don't have to be five hours. Be specific. Ask what you want. So 8th verse says what? Be not ye therefore like them. Don't be like them. They got vain repetition. They don't know what they even asking for. They don't even know how to approach me. They even got my power dwelling within. When you come to me, you blessed, because you know whose name to ask in. And it says, your Father knoweth the things you have need of. Before you even what? Ask him. How does he know that? Because it's already done in heaven first. He already knows. We're just waiting for that kingdom boom. Say kingdom boom. That's the manifestation on earth. When I ask something, I know it's already done, and then boom. I love you. You got the perfect timing. So ninth verse says what? Only got a few more minutes. Ninth verse says what? So after this manner, pray ye and say, our Father, who art in heaven. Why? Because the government and the systems is in what? Heaven. Hallowed be. Your name is to be honored and reverenced. Guess what? Hallowed be your name because I know your name. I know who you are. Hallelujah. You've given me the knowledge and the revelation of who you are. And then the next thing it says, your kingdom come. That means boom is coming. I want to see your boom. That's what it's saying. I want to see you manifest. So tell your neighbor, the kingdom is coming. How do you know the kingdom is coming? Boom. What is the boom? The manifestation, whatever you're believing it for. He says, thy will be done in earth. And then he says, 11th verse says what? Give us this day our daily what? What is a daily bread? Whatever you need. Your word. Whatever it is that healing. Come on. Deliverance. What? Who needs deliverance bread? Who needs healing bread? It's right there. Right? Who needs shalom peace bread? I need some peace bread. Right? Who needs joy bread? Ooh, yes. Come on, lift me up, Father. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our... Because we're supposed to forgive. See, we can hinder our prayers if we're holding stuff. Why? Because he ain't holding nothing back from you. He forgave you. So if he forgave you, forgive Auntie. Forgive Uncle Nene or JoJo. Right? Not Uncle Nene. Because the stuff that you got against them is going to hinder the boom. I don't want nothing hindering my boom. Because I want your kingdom to come. I want you to manifest. Because I done said, I said, I serve a God that can do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, C, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That's the God I serve. He can do it from A to Z. And then when people say, woo, your God did provide A through Z. Well, I need, can I just get a little J? Yes. I can agree with you. So it says what? Lead us not. He's not going to lead us into temptation. Hey, saints, roads that lead to temptation are not his roads. Let's get it straight. The enemy's trying to distract you. He's not leading us into temptation. We're getting distracted from other things. And you know, this is a terrible world that we live in right now. We got too many distractions, too many text messages, too many emails, too many pictures. I was scrolling up through Instagram. And I was like, I can't look at this no more. It's just too much. Too much stuff. Too much flesh. Too much natural. And where I'm looking, scrolling, I should be scrolling through the word. I should be looking through my scriptures. But the enemy knows that there's power in the word. Come on. So he's going to strike you. Say, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom. Say, the kingdom belongs to him. And the power. Say, the power belongs to him. And the what? Glory. How long? Forever. Whatever you need forever is his. And so I showed you guys last week. Let's get to the power. What kind of power are you trying to operate in? See, this is what we do. Icarus, intellectual power. The ingenuity and creative. Listen, man, I can't go to church because I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to get a business concept that's going to make me $5 million. So you're going to take the Icarus power. That's the Greek word for, that's the kind of power it is. You're seeking after that. So
I can't go to Bible study because I'm working on this YouTube channel. So you think that your intellectual power is going to do more for you than his power. So you're operating your own power. Kratos, governmental power. Man, if I could just get in the government system, you know, then I can make stuff happen. If I can just be the mayor, if I can just be the councilman. Now, I'm not knocking that stuff, but if you're seeking that over the real power, seek ye first what? The kingdom first. So these are all the distracting powers that are available. Pneuma, the human spirit, natural drive. And I told you guys, I'm just a 5'6" guy. You know, I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. But if I'm playing with some 6-foot guys, Terrell, stand up. Yeah, you stand up. Stand up, dude. Stand up. Yeah, you. This dude's like 6'5". Well, you look 6'5", as big as you are. But can you imagine me going against Terrell? But hey, if I have enough human spirit, like I got to beat this dude. I got to dunk over this dude. I just might do it. To dominate over somebody. But is that the power you're seeking? Just your human drive. Energia, expelled energy. Work-driven power. Well, I can't go to church because, you know, I got to go to work. No, I need this overtime. No. No, okay. I know some people right now who, because the lights are going out everywhere because it's been hot, they work for the DWP. DWP saying, if you come in on Sunday, we're going to pay you double. But guess what? My sister said, I don't care if you're going to be paying me double. I'm seeking the kingdom, so I'm going to go to church. I'm seeking the kingdom. I ain't using no names. Because the world tells you, uh-uh. Don't go. Wednesday, you need that overtime. But if you seek the kingdom, he's going to provide you those opportunities. He's going to provide you other. Come on, y'all. You better get this. So are you pursuing energy? You're just going to work yourself into something without even seeking him. Exousia. That's authoritative power. Power given from one to another. I kind of like the exousia because that was the power that Yeshua gave his disciples to cast out demons. He's like, hey, just... I'm giving you the power to what? Tread over serpents and scorpions. And then number 6, somebody say dunamis. That's the wonder working power of the Holy Spirit in your life. This, say, dunamis power is what I should be pursuing. See, because if you pursue dunamis, here's the kingdom and the power belongs to him. And if we seek his power, guess what? Everything else will be added on. If we seek the dunamis power, guess what? We're going to come up with intellectual stuff. He's going to give us favor for whatever it is that we need, right? But what power are you pursuing? Lastly, go here. We're going to go here to Ephesians 1. I'm going to leave you with this. So the power belongs to him. Dude, we can change. If we operate in the dunamis power, if we learn how these keys work through his word, binding and loosing and operating in dominion and power, we can change world situations. No. If I can get enough of y'all to believe, we can change world situations. Serious business.
We can change what's happening in cities. If I could get some, if we could get some kingdom people interceding for the city of Chicago, we would see some market improvement. But what are we doing? We distracted. We're using this power. I want to get a Maserati. I want to get a Mercedes. I want to get a house on the hill. But what we should be directing our prayers to is what's happening in the world and say, Father, draw more people to your kingdom. We should be changing this city. We should be changing the city that you live in. L.A., Long Beach, Compton, Cerritos, get out your city. Are you agreeing for your city? Are you agreeing for Paramount? Are you agreeing for Linwood? Are you agreeing for L.A.? Are you just asking for your own stuff? Do you know that we have the power to change every city up in here? And then he'll give us opportunities to go in and favor and to work and to make things happen. And he'll give us resources. Because this is what I believe. If he's given us a vision, he'll give us provision. So Ephesians 1, I'm going to leave you with this, 19th chapter, says what? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? What? What's going to happen with this power to us who actually what? Believe. I believe according to what? According to his wonder-working power. What is his power? Dunamis. Say dunamis. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to his wonder working of his mighty power? 20th verse says what? 20th verse says what? Which he wrought in who? Mashiach. Didn't he ask Peter, who the men say that I am? And he knew who he was. So he's saying, listen, I'm going to do some stuff for you, but you need to know who I am. And how wrought means it's worked out in Mashiach. How? When he raised him what? From the dead and set him on his right hand in heavenly places. Right hand, when you see right hand in the word, that's a place of favor. That's a place of power. And the 20th verse says what? He set Yeshua up far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Did you get that? Yeshua has been put up. Listen, this means something. He exalted Yeshua above principality, above power, above might, and dominion, and what? And every name that is named. What does that mean? His name reigns above every name. Do you believe that? And then he said what? Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And 22 says what? And has what? The 22nd verse says, can we put that on the screen? And has what? Put all. No, he's put some things under his feet. No, no, Pastor Tom, there's a situation that, you know, I don't know how he's going to do it. Where are all things, y'all? Under his feet. And gave him to be what? The head over what? All things to the church. Tell your neighbor, all things is under his feet. This is a beauty. If you know who he is, and if all things are under his feet, then all things are under your feet. Did you receive that? If you invoke his name, all things are under his feet. And when you invoke his name, all things are under your feet. Somebody needs to stomp it out. And the last verse of the day, 23rd. says what? Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. Is that power working in you today? Did you receive that power working in you today? Say it. All things are under my feet. Say it. All things. Tomorrow's coming. Some janky stuff is going to happen to you. It's going to present itself. Don't trip. Speak to that thing. And say what? Your supervisor is going to call you with some craziness. Tell your supervisor. Wait, don't be scared. I can't tell my supervisor that. Yes, you can. Say, hey, supervisor, don't worry about it. All things are under my feet. The doctor may try to say something. I see something. All things are under my feet. The enemy throws a monkey wrench into something. Things are going along good, and then all of a sudden, anybody experience that? No matter what, hold fast to him. Believe and say, in the name of Yeshua, all things are under my feet. And I thank you for it, Yahweh. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Victory, victory, victory is ours. Hallelujah. Power and dominion. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the name that is above every name. You said it in your word. You confirm it. We believe. What power can be manifested and demonstrated? As long as we know who the power belongs to. And you said because of that, you've been placed above all power, above all dominion, above any name, above the name of cancer, whatever they call that cancer. Don't worry. Your name is above that name of cancer. Your name is above whatever name of sickness. Your name is above anything that would try to present itself adverse to a kingdom child. And you say, no matter what you are confronted with, my child, my name conquers all. My name conquers everything. So we believe that. So help us. Help us understand the importance of the power that we have when we invoke your name. And we receive it right now. We thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, Amen. Amen. Keep your head bowed. I just have to ask just two questions.